Hello, everyone. This is Jacob Emerson with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Thanks for tuning into today's episode on how to solve nurse staffing woes, starting by embracing platform technology as a connector. Today, we're thrilled to be joined by Susan Pasley, who's the Vice President of Clinical Solutions at CareRev. Susan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you so much for having me, Jacob. It's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Well, likewise, Susan. And before we dive in, can you just tell us a little bit more about CareRev and what it is exactly that you do there?
Absolutely. So CareRev is a marketplace technology solution that really connects hospitals that have needs for nurses, CNAs, and other technical professionals with a local per diem 1099 pool of professionals in their community that can come in and fill shifts and relieve some of the burden that we've seen in the nursing staffing world during the pandemic, as well as the post-pandemic phase that we're in today.
Fantastic. So you mentioned that burden that the nursing workforce is going through, has been going through. So start us off, Susan, by kind of just telling us about the context of where we're at this year with the nation's nursing workforce. Well, what's the current issues that it's facing?
Yes, Jacob. So that's a great place to start. And I think we're early enough in 2023 that there haven't been any major seismic shifts in kind of where we're at from a nursing workforce perspective in 2023. A lot of the trends that we saw, a lot of the data and the statistics that we saw in 2022, you know, remain to be the challenges that we're faced with today. So I think it's fair to say that we're still squarely in the midst of a nursing shortage. We're certainly no longer in kind of the dire state that folks found themselves in at the height of the pandemic, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in 2023 to really get closer to a state of equilibrium that's positive for the nursing profession. So, you know, when we talk about all the data that's out there and what we've seen with regards to trends, the major trends that really dictate where we're at today continue to be things like the high levels of burnout that we're seeing within the nursing workforce. There are still high levels of professionals in the nursing profession that are considering leaving their current job, leaving the bedside. And we still see statistically significant numbers of nurses that are actually considering leaving the profession altogether for other industries. And so those are some of the challenges that we have to continue to address in 2023. And then I think you have to balance that with just the fact that the nursing workforce is getting younger. Folks are retiring much earlier than they typically did pre-pandemic. And there are just some cultural changes. There are some kind of demands that the younger workforce are placing on employers with regards to what's important to them in their life, that work-life balance, and how they want to work and where they want to work, that the healthcare industry really needs to be laser focused on addressing in 2023 and beyond. So I think that this inability for us to successfully kind of recruit and retain nurses at the individual employer level or at the profession, or rather in the profession itself, is costing healthcare systems millions of dollars. It's really affecting their ability to deliver high quality, safe patient care. And from a long-term perspective, it hinders their potential for growth as a health system. So these are all things that we need to take into account. And I don't want it to sound like it's all bleak and doom and gloom. When you look at the statistics, I think sometimes it's easy to get that perspective, but I actually think there's a lot of hope on the horizon in 2023. So I'm excited to see where healthcare really steps up to the challenge to address this crisis and meet the needs of their nurses.
Yeah, and in that vein, Susan, of what you just said, hope on the horizon for this issue, obviously it's very multifaceted. There's a lot of different reasons it's happening and a lot of different potential solutions to help solve it. But where would you say that health system leaders can really start on this issue when attempting to solve or at least relieve some of their nurse staffing challenges?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jacob. And, you know, when I've talked to my nursing leader colleagues and, you know, read through the literature, there's a lot of frameworks that you can start to utilize as you think about addressing the challenges or relieving the nursing staffing shortage. But I personally kind of like to think about it in three ways. There's really three areas that folks need to be focused on. And the way that I typically frame it up is that first they need to look inward and really focus that time and attention on their internal culture, as well as the workforce strategy that they're putting together. And then secondly, I think it's important to take a very intentional look at the external labor that they might need to utilize to supplement that internal employed staff. And then third, how do you really effectively bring those two worlds together to truly create a long-term strategy that meets the needs of your patients, your caregivers, and your staff? So if it's okay, Jacob, I'm going to break that down just a little bit in more detail so that I can explain. Okay, perfect. So there's no doubt that as I talk to all of my colleagues in the nursing leadership world, that they recognize the challenges that they're up against. This isn't a situation where they lack understanding of the problem. I think we all know what the problem is. And overall, I think we've seen some really positive attempts to address these challenges for the employed staff in some innovative ways that acknowledge we're really in a new reality. So, you know, I've worked with hospitals that have, you know, made attempts to create new positions, new structures, really embrace the fact that they need to create more flexibility for nurses. And we've seen this manifest in ways like creating an internal travel agency, even resurrecting some of the team nursing models to be able to better leverage different caregivers, you know, license and skills, or even going so far as implementing things like job sharing models or changing the number of hours that nurses might work in a given shift. And, you know, I think that this alternative to the traditional kind of 312s, an RN and a CNA working together, is really positive for the profession. And it provides caregivers with a lot of more entry points into an organization that might meet some of those work-life balance needs that I talked about a little bit earlier. But if I'm honest, I just don't think that we've gone far enough yet. I think that health systems really need to continue to push the envelope and step outside of some of the old paradigms that we've been in for so long and really truly innovate new staffing models and shift options that continue to offer more flexibility and really entice the profession to be competitive, not just hospital to hospital, but really against other industries. And that all has to be balanced by also simultaneously really taking a serious look at the cultural factors that impact a nurse's work experience. And I'm not talking about their experience with regards to their skills and how many years they work. I'm talking about the experience that they have every day that they step onto that unit and provide care to patients in a team environment. So, you know, when we think about it, like if a nurse has an option to be employed at two facilities that have an equally poor culture, then the differentiating factor is going to continue just to be one of pay. So we have to really be addressing those cultural factors because it's incredibly impactful in competing for talent, recruiting, and retaining them. And it really just leads to so many benefits that actually manifest both from a monetary perspective as well as just from a job satisfaction perspective for the nurses. So that's really what I'm talking about when I'm talking about that internal focus that needs to happen in 2023. I think the second piece, that external focus, is that we recognize that there is a supply and demand mismatch in the nursing field. And so nursing leaders have to be really intentional about focusing on that long-term strategy that seeks to incorporate contingent labor in a meaningful way. So during the pandemic, you know, the reliance on contingent labor, even for health systems who traditionally had really never used this type of labor, was just a function of survival. But post-pandemic, we've seen a lot of health systems operate under this kind of assumption that if they can just get contingent labor out the door, get rid of it altogether, most specifically probably travelers, then somehow life will magically return to normal. And because we know that there's a supply and demand mismatch, I think that that's really operating with a short-sighted view of what's happening in the industry. So I think that the health systems that are really going to come out on top are the ones who work on improvements internally while simultaneously addressing a long-term solution to be able to build a strong pool of local contingent labor that can really flex with their needs in real time. So I mentioned a little bit earlier about CareRev and what we do, and we provide this technology solution that facilitates a robust pool of local talent that's credentialed, onboarded, and ready to work at a favorable cost. And this can be leveraged to augment employed staff kind of when and where you need it. So ultimately, I think understanding that contingent labor isn't the enemy of health systems, and they need to find a way that works for them to really use it effectively and efficiently to pave a path for a better future. And if you'll indulge me, Jacob, I know this is a long answer, but I'll just say, let me just touch really quickly on that third thing that I said. I think like the holy grail is figuring out how do you maximize your internal employed staff while simultaneously combining that with this kind of external contingent labor strategy. And so I think that people have to build a strategic plan and structures and a culture that really supports bringing internal and external strategies together in a way that meets your patient needs and helps you to build something that's going to be sustainable from a longitudinal perspective. When I work with hospitals and health systems, you know, I really think we try to work together on two ways to address it. The first one is that you have to have technology that allows you to seamlessly address both the internal and external in an integrated manner. Because a health system needs to be able to identify their needs, post their holes, and fill them without relying on a lot of, disjointed technology systems. That doesn't help anyone in a long-term strategy. It just creates additional work and confusion. I would say that this is probably precisely why CareRev has really invested so much in 2023 on integrating with existing labor management software systems. Because we really think if it's truly going to be a part of the long-term strategy, then we can't create workflows that exist outside of normal, you know, day-to-day business operations. So that's one thing that's really important in kind of bringing it all together. And then the second one I think is equally important, but often maybe not as talked about as much. And that is just creating a culture that welcomes and nurtures their contingent labor pool and really like appreciates the important role that they play both in caring for patients as well as being a part of that care for the employed caregiver. So, Jacob, I know that's kind of long-winded, but that's kind of how I think about framing up really what has to happen in 2023 and beyond as nursing leaders really seek to address these challenges.
No, that's fantastic. And I really appreciate the details and the insight here, Susan, because this is obviously an issue that every health system around the country is facing. And just to recap on this three-pronged approach that you mentioned that really needs to function at a minimum is focusing on that internal employee labor force and culture there, focusing on your external labor market that's available to you, and then implementing a strategy to really bridge those two groups. So Susan, you had mentioned some of CareRev's offerings and what you really prioritize on the platform. So I'm wondering if you can talk to us a little bit about how you think that having experienced nurses who are ready on demand can really allow providers to find the right nurse for the right patient at any time.
Yes, I actually think that this is really, really important. As a nurse myself, you will never hear me say this outside of this context, but I think sometimes, you know, there's this idea that, right, a nurse is a nurse is a nurse and anybody can take care of anybody. But for all of us who live in the healthcare world, we know that that is not true. And it takes a very specialized nurse to take care of a patient in any type of acute care setting. And so when you build a really diverse pool of local caregivers whose expertise and experience mirrors that of your facility's needs, it's very easy to get contingent labor to be able to flex kind of up or down according to your census. And so that key is kind of understanding what your needs are in the hospital and then designing a pool of folks to be able to come in and work at the ready, given where the need is and what type of patient they're potentially taking care of. So it really becomes a simple matter of using the technology that's preferably integrated into your own system to then put the call out for those pre-vetted professionals to fill the gap. You know, traditionally, getting a hole filled in a schedule in a health system requires phone calls, text messages, sometimes a little begging, sometimes some guilt, whether it's guilt because you're the manager and you know you're having to call your already exhausted nurses and ask them to pick up yet another shift, or guilt on the nurse's part because they don't want to pick up the phone when they see the hospital's number because they're burnt out and they don't want to have to come in and work another shift. But as nurses, we don't want to leave a patient, you know, without somebody there to take care of them. So that local pool really allows you to be able to find the right nurse for where the patient demand is on any given day in any given week. And with CareRev, we really try to take all of that inefficiency out of the process, as well as taking the angst out of the equation.
I see. That makes sense. And are there certain benefits you found for choosing specialty nurses that don't have any contracts or even third-party coordination? What are some of the benefits to that?
Yeah, so absolutely. I think that there's a lot of benefits to choosing specialty nurses that don't have a contract or, you know, a lot of third-party coordination to be able to deploy them in your health system. So, I mean, staffing agencies and other kind of W-2-based solutions, they got really adept at moving nurses through their process quickly during the pandemic. I think that there's no denying that. But at the end of the day, there's still a really long process that these companies have to go through to find the right person, vet them, deploy them, deploy that specific nurse to meet your specific need. And when you take time on the front end to really build the pool of local labor, which we can do pretty quickly, those caregivers are ready to meet your needs on an ongoing basis kind of as they arise. And they aren't traveling in from other parts of the country. They know your local area. They know the nuance to the community. They know the types of patients that you're caring for. So there's no learning curve there. As, you know, maybe when you bring a traveler in from Boston to the rural Midwest, for example, and you aren't bound to these really tedious kind of 13 or 26 week contracts that you actively have to be managing. So they're really ready to answer the call or claim the shift when and where there's a need. And, you know, we've been fortunate in that monkeypox didn't turn into the next, you know, COVID pandemic. And we heard a lot about the triple-demic over the winter. And I know for some areas, the triple-demic was a real challenge that they had to deal with, but it maybe wasn't as big of a challenge in other areas. It didn't strain the system maybe as much as we thought that it might, but we'd never know when the next pandemic or even just a natural disaster in your local area is going to strike. And using this approach, you're just like proactively ahead of the game and ready to deploy or bring in that contingent labor when and where you need it. So it's tremendously beneficial against a much more arduous and tedious process that many of the traditional kind of contingent labor solutions employ.
Got it. So you can reach your fingers further into different labor pools. But I have to ask you, Susan, what does that mean for credentialing? I mean, how does that work with CareRev? And what's kind of the benefits to how you guys go about it?
Yeah, so this is probably the question that we get asked the most. I talk to a lot of current clients, a lot of prospective clients, and you know, making sure that you have somebody who is high quality coming into your system, has all the appropriate credentials, is probably one of the biggest issues that we talk about with nursing leaders. I would just like to say that CareRev takes a tremendous amount of pride in really being able to find the highest quality professionals for our hospital and health system clients. And we do that in a way that's very flexible for the hospital to be able to make sure that we're maintaining the high level of standard that they would have of any employee. So our implementation and clinical teams really operate with a consultative approach to be able to design a credentialing and an onboarding process that, again, meets or exceeds your own facility standards, while also helping to move the professional through it really quickly. We've been doing this a long time. You know, we've been doing this since 2015. And we've learned a lot along the way with regards to what it takes to ensure that all the necessary credentials are met and maintained while kind of cutting all the unnecessary fat out of the process. So a couple of things that I think are really beneficial for both hospitals and professionals are that we've given them a really easy platform and application to be able to access. And hospitals actually have full access to all of the caregivers' credentials. They can see the credentials when they expire. They can pull up, PDF copies of every credential. They can see orientation lists and documentation that might support their onboarding very easily. So there's full transparency for as long as that professional is working or credentialed and vetted to work in a particular facility. And then on the professional side, we have created an incredibly easy user experience for nurses to be able to upload and maintain their credentials in one single location. So using that functionality, both on the facility and the pro side in the app, we're able to design a process that is very seamless for both parties.
Got it. So it sounds like a very strict credentialing process, but also one that for the actual nurses itself, very easy, very efficient to use. Susan, any final thoughts you really want to share with our listeners today or key takeaways from this massive issue that we've discussed today?
Yeah, so there's a lot that, I would love to share with everybody, but I actually am just going to kind of bring it back down to the thing that I think is most important and needs to ground us all in the work that we're doing to try to solve these issues. And I think it's really important, especially when we're, kind of caught up in the numbers and sense of it all, to remember that nursing care is at the heart of what a hospital actually delivers to a patient. It's about far more than being a labor cost or a budgetary line item on a hospital's balance sheet. And we have to create the strategies and the culture that are going to promote and celebrate the value that nurses really bring to the healthcare system. Sometimes because we get caught up in this dollars and cents, focus, I think it can be easy to overlook because nursing is one of the few major expenses in the hospital that isn't a billable expense. But without nurses, there would be no hospitals. So I just really encourage all of the leaders out there that have influence in their particular healthcare systems or hospitals, as well as all of my colleagues in the nursing leadership world, to keep pushing the envelope with innovation, because we need to evolve as we see the needs of the profession evolve around us. We need to be able to step up to ensure that nurses want to stay in the profession and that we're attracting a good, robust pool of nurses who want to enter into the profession as well.
Wonderful. Well, Susan, I want to thank you both for your time and for sharing your insights with us on today's nursing shortage and how hospitals and health systems everywhere can embrace platform technology to allow for better operational efficiency. We also want to thank our podcast sponsor, CareRev. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com/podcast.